Thank you so much for joining us, Anthony.
No worries.
Now, although the film has sparked a lot of controversy, do you think that it's possible that the film could be, I guess, making a social commentary that criticizes and exposes the sexualization of young children?
Look, I totally believe that. I mean, I've seen the film a few times, and I mean, there's a couple of scenes in there that I just thought, wow, what am I watching here? But that said, it's not really any worse than a lot of things that we see in video clips or on TV advertising. I think quite usefully, and if people ever want to do this, Netflix often does this, they actually have additional files, like additional trailers, interviews with the director, if you click on the And More link. And this film does have that. And there's quite an extensive account of the director, who's also French Senegalese. Her name is Decour. This is her first big film. She's made a lot of short films previously. But she talks at length about the way in which the film was really a story about two parallel forms of, I guess, objectification or, you know, controlling narratives of femininity, femaleness. She says it's actually quite a feminist film with a fairly hardcore feminist message. Obviously, that's not getting through. That's not being read by a lot of people. And I'll come to that in a second as to why I think that is. But I think she importantly says that there are twin kinds of oppression narratives in this film. One is the Islamic African conservative cultural context in which the main child, the 11-year-old, lives and is ultimately controlled by her father's getting married to another woman. You know, there's a conservative stuff around what women should and shouldn't do and what they should and shouldn't put up with. So there's kind of this going on at the same time. And I think a lot of people who have been complaining about the film have missed that aspect of it.
Well, yeah.
The other side that she talks about is the influence of social media in particular on the preteen age market. And she did extensive research with focus groups across France and in the UK and Europe with girls who were under 12 and between, say, 8 and 11 years of age to find out their impressions of females, female bodies, women's roles, and their relationship to social media and images. And so from that basis, she decided to work through those ideas in the film. But she also says the film's her film. You know, it's about her. It's about her as a child trying to, you know, straddle these two different influences in her life, the conservative Islamic influence of her own African heritage on one hand, and the kind of hypersexualized aspects that kind of congregates around young females' bodies from a very early age and the way that's disseminated so freely across the internet. How do you handle freedom, I think, is probably a good question to ask about this film. The young girl at the center of the film thinks that she's found freedom. She's found this other group of girls that like to dance and they're going to dance in a dancing competition, which is where all the suggestive stuff is performed. And she finds all these likes on social media. She steals a phone. She suddenly gets a social media presence. She finds people are liking her, sending her love hearts. All of a sudden, she feels a bit more free and a bit more in control. And I think by the end of the film, she's realized that that freedom has a lot of holes in it and comes with a lot of strings attached. And she's only 11, of course. And there's a final moment, and I don't want to spoil the film for anybody, but there is a moment at the end of the film where we see her kind of rising up out of the apartment. And I think that's kind of meant to tell us that she's kind of rising above. She goes back into a kind of more, I don't know, natural childlike state. She ends up skipping rope and stuff at the end of the film rather than, you know, doing the splits in really suggestive ways. You know, so there is all that in there. And I just wonder whether a lot of people who are critiquing the film have actually seen it. I know that there was a panel on, like, Fox News, and Huffington Post wrote a story about this as well. They said that, you know, when they asked a lot of the conservatives who were spearheading the cancel Netflix campaign, had they seen the film? They said, no, I would never watch a film like that. I would never watch a child pornography film, you know, this kind of stuff. So it's kind of interesting because there is no nudity in this film and there is no sexual activity in this film, but there is some very suggestive dancing on the part of the 10 and 11-year-olds in the film itself. So I guess it's critiquing, I think, the ideas that we're feeding our children and how they work and whether those ideas should or shouldn't be available or accessed to kids in the way that they are. The problem is that it's unfiltered. You know, these kids are using social media in the film and are playing with sexuality, not really knowing what that sexuality means, not really knowing what the currency of it is. So we see some really embarrassing moments in the film where the main character, actually dances to get out of a really tricky social situation. She dances sexually in front of these two older men in a laser game parlor so that she can get out because they snuck in there without paying. And she does get out. But then she also tries to be sexual with someone to get their mobile phone. And then he rejects that and says, oh, my God, what are you doing? And then, of course, in the ultimate moment in the film at the end where they're dancing at the talent show in front of everybody in public, people are booing them and parents are covering their children's eyes. So those moments of suggestiveness and hypersexual behaviour on the part of the young girls is heavily critiqued throughout the film. The other characters don't like it, they don't want it, and the young girls pretty much soon learn that that's a very limited way of being a girl or a woman.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot there, you know.
Yeah, no, there is a lot there. And I mean, like, it's very interesting as well because, like, from what you're explaining, I mean, obviously this isn't a film for children, and it does kind of represent like this very bleak reality of what children are exposed to, I guess, especially what young girls are exposed to and what's expected of them in so many different ways. And you know, when it was being advertised as part of the Sundance Film Festival, the advertisement of the film was very, very, very different to how Netflix advertise a film. Their promotional poster for the film depicted the girls in sexual dance poses on stage wearing provocative outfits, and just kind of had like cuties right there. In saying that, do you think that with this kind of whole blow up, do you think that the people behind the Netflix marketing team would be the ones to blame? Is that's kind of the image and the idea that they chose to target a particular audience and represent a film that's supposedly about coming of age?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Look, I do agree with that. I do think that there could have been better ways to promote the film. The trailer that Netflix uses, and I think this is partly the problem with the film itself, the trailer that Netflix uses suggests that it's like an outsider joining a girl group and they put on a funky dance kind of thing. It's one of those narratives. And so I could understand on the basis of the trailer alone, kids wanting to watch this film because it's almost like a young girl taking her power. And it is actually. But I just wonder whether or not it's particularly directed at young people or whether it's directed at old people who need to understand young people better. In terms of Netflix's own advertising and promotion of the film, they absolutely have to bear some kind of responsibility for this. I'm a bit suspicious about the whole cancel Netflix movement, to be honest. I've done a lot of work around the idea of cancel culture, and I totally understand the way it works with reference to historical images and, of course, historical acts of colonisation, which result in us removing statues, for example, or changing the name of lollies, or editing out certain films that are explicitly racist or violent and treat women in certain ways. Is this one of those films? I don't know. Is this a moment where something should be cancelled or whether it should be discussed? You know, this is kind of the way I come at this. So I kind of feel like, in a way, Cuties is touching on a nerve that's making us all go, ouch, and I think that's probably a good thing. Do I think Netflix could have handled it better? Absolutely. But I also do know that there's quite a conservative push through this cancel Netflix movement to align Netflix with the Democratic characters in the forthcoming American election as well, because Barack Obama recently signed a deal with Netflix, with Michelle Obama, to produce a series of films and documentaries that's kind of socially relevant content, if you will.
Absolutely.
And of course, the Republicans have seized on that, going, right, he's supporting Netflix, he's supporting child pornography, this is what the Democrats are up to, we need to cancel Netflix. And there's all this kind of stuff going on. So it's a really murky debate around what we do with films that touch a nerve socially and how they're sometimes used politically. So the cancel Netflix thing becomes more about the politics around the ideas rather than the film itself. The problem is, as I said before, a lot of these people who are agitating for the cancelling of Netflix have not actually seen the film. But should Netflix be held to account in terms of the way it promotes and constructs the young women in the film? Absolutely, because you have this scene where one of the young girls, the most rebellious one, who's a friend of the main character, she's dancing in a laundry on her own. And this is how the main character discovers her. She's dancing in a very, you know, slinky little outfit in the laundry of their apartment building. She irons her hair straight. She does a sexy thing to this kind of Spanish music. And, of course, the other girl is fascinated and amazed. When you just see that tiny clip of the girl dancing in the trailer, you don't understand that interaction. You know, you don't actually understand it. This is a girl seeing a different type of girlhood outside of her own African Islamic family and being curious about that. And this is another girl who's just dancing around to music in a laundry. But when you see it cut the way it is and promoted the way it is, you're right. It does come off as something that could be seen as promoting this as something positive or something good. I mean, and at the end of the day, I think also there's something in there about kids exploring ideas and exploring stuff safely. So I wonder whether or not that message is coming through. I certainly think the filmmaker has been shut down in this conversation, that she's been kind of pushed aside and in a way muted. And she's said all along that she's making a film that she thinks has a very strong feminist message about women being controlled and the hypersexualization of young girls.
Absolutely. Well, Anthony, thank you so, so much for joining us on the show today. It's been really, really great talking about this.
Look, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.